The voting, which will be done by the head of the election committee, and the floor is yours now, and you give the results.
Results of voting for the election of director of the Bogoliubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. Number of voting members of the Scientific Council, 38. Number of ballot papers found in the ballot box, 38. Number of invalid votes, 1. Number of votes cast for Dmitry Kazakov, 24. Number of votes cast for Mikhail Hanatchik, 13. These are the results.
Well, that has been decided, and thank you very much for I thank the head of the election committee for the work done by the committee. And now, yeah. So we will. I suggest that he, as he comes
open,
in, we clap.
By open voting, approve.
The procedure is now that by open voting, we approve of the results of the election. So I call for raising hands to approve of the election. Are there any abstentions? That is, has anyone not raised his hand? No. So we have you have unanimity, right? Right. Okay. Thank you very much. And where's the candidate? Where's the new candidate? Yeah. Where's Dmitry? Please invite Dmitry.
He's there.
As he comes in, we're going to clap.
Well, I'm grateful to the members of the committee for this great honor. I hope to meet you soon, and I will show you what I've done. Thank you.
I think I'll be representing the committee in congratulating you on the result, and also on Dr. Knatic for taking part in this competition, and that we are sure that both of you will be valuable assets to the Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. So, we now go to item number 10 on our program, which is recommendations of the PACs, of the advisory committees. And we are asking Professor Itzhak Tseruya to give us the PAC for particle physics, the views of the PAC on particle physics, scientific meeting of the PACs group. Please, Professor Tseruya, please give us your report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's my pleasure to present you the report from the Program Advisory Committee on Particle Physics, the 47th one. The meeting took place in June 26 and... Sorry? I don't know. You hear me better now? Now, the meeting took place on June 26, 27. This is the agenda. I don't expect you to read all these items. Let me just mention what the highlights are of the meeting. We got update reports on NICA, MPD, and BMA10, and report on the Nucleotron Run 54. The message to take away from those two things is the lack of manpower that is very evident, as I will try to show you as I go along with this report. And then the new projects and project seeking in continuation that were presented to the PAC. So let me start with the report from the NICA. The committee appreciates the significant progress achieved in the Nucleotron operation during 54, in particular the fact that a polarized proton beam was produced for the first time. And I will say more as I go along on this RAN 54 that was actually quite successful. The PAC is very pleased with the preparations for the booster construction. This is the major item in the whole project for 2018. And it has now a very ambitious schedule. The parts have been or will be ready in time, but the installation and the commissioning of the machine are on a very, very tight schedule. The PAC is concerned about the availability of sufficient manpower for the booster construction and urges the GINR management to take corrective action. So that's the first thing where it is evident, and this was expressed also by the machine advisory people. The RAN 54, as I mentioned, was 54 was quite successful. It took place during February and March 2017 with a total duration of 1,000 hours. It had a diversity of beams that were produced during this time. First, polarized deuterons that were used by the ALPOM and the DSS experiments. And then the first demonstration of acceleration of polarized protons. And this was followed by the beam of carbon nuclei that were used by BMA10 and by the hyper and the lithium-7 beam that was used by the hyper NIS. So basically, the machine was able to fulfill all the beam users' requirements. Concerning infrastructure, there is good progress on the buildings. We heard that this morning. The collider building is making progress. The NICA Center will come soon to a tender situation. And the circulating water system for the cryogenic complex is now operational, and it makes it possible the non-stop testing for the superconducting magnets. A big item on the agenda for the infrastructure development is the upgrade of the electric power of the laboratory that will be increased up to 40 megawatts. Again, we heard at several occasions that the lengthy tendering procedures induce very often delays in the progress. As I mentioned, that the booster is the main item for main milestone for 2018. You can see here the status of the production of the magnets for the booster. It is in quite a good shape. Those numbers are from June. They have changed in the meantime. Basically, all those magnets should be ready by the end of this year. Now, the MPD. The MPD is also doing quite good progress. The magnet, we heard it from the report of Vladimir Kekelidze, is progressing well, with some delay, but not too severe at this stage. There are efforts to develop the NICA interface to the MPD, all the beam line access to the experimental stage are being developed. There was an important decision to change the ECAL design to have it a projective geometry. This improves considerably the performance of the calorimeter in terms of efficiency and resolution. And there is progress being done together with the Detector Advisory Committee towards the definition of the technical design reports for all the subsystems that are supposed to be in place by stage one. There is also progress in defining the participation from the groups of China and Mexico in the MPD experiment. Their commitment, their responsibilities are being defined. For both groups. The BMATEN. The BMATEN had two runs in December 2016, and the last one, run 54, in March 2017. Those two runs were quite successful from the point of view of the BMATEN. BMATEN was able to actually have all the subsystems on the floor with a limited configuration, with a limited coverage, but all subsystems were there. They were tested with a variety of beam, deuteron beam and the carbon beam. All subsystems more or less performed rather well. The next run in October, December of this year will use heavier beams of argon and krypton, and the coverage will be extended. So we expect to hear more on the development of the BMATEN with the heavier beams soon. Now, just to show you some of the results obtained by BMATEN, here you can see an example of lambda reconstruction in the collision of D with some target. The time of flight resolution achieved by the system, which is pretty good. Although these data were obtained with a limited coverage of the detector, they are new in the sense that nobody has measured in this energy regime the production or the particle spectra of those things. So in principle, those things are publishable. The problem is that BMATEN has not manpower to go beyond these very simple plots that just show some performance. There is no groups that can be dedicated to analyze this data and to optimize the analysis tools and make actually this data to be published. So this is an area where the lack of manpower is really very visible. And the PAC is really very concerned about that because BMATEN is close to be operational, and it would be very unsatisfactory to have data collected and nobody to look at it. Now, we heard a very interesting extension of the BMATEN physics program. This is a proposal that was initiated by a group from Tel Aviv and include people from MIT, GSI, CEA, and of course the BMATEN collaboration. The idea is to measure short-range correlations in carbon nucleus. The short-range correlation of two nucleon pairs, this is just a pair with a large relative momentum between the two nucleons and the small center of mass momentum. In measurements done at JLab with electron beams, some very interesting results were found, namely that from all these short-range correlation, 80% of them are of the type of NP, a neutron and a proton, whereas about the rest is correlations between neutron-neutron or proton-proton. Those results were obtained with very, very low statistics because the cross-section with these channels are rather low. What they are proposing here is to do the measurement using a carbon beam incident on a hydrogen target and then measure all the relevant quantities so you have a full kinematic definition of the process. So this is a pioneering measurement, can only be performed at the nucleotron, and the PAC was very pleased with this extension, and this it was approved till 2021. And actually, the first beam time devoted to this short-range correlation will take place at the fall, at the RAND 55, that will take place at the fall of 2017. Now, concerning projects approved for completion in 2016 and the proposed for continuation, there are several. I think there is something missing here. Okay. So first, concerning NA61, NA61 is approved to take data at CERN till 2018, and maybe the collaboration will seek continuation, but it is not clear. What is solidly established up to now is that NA61 finishes data taking in 2019. So the JNR group is playing a role in data taking, detector, and software maintenance, but we estimate or we consider that the impact of the group is not on the physics analysis is not that large, keeping in mind that the group is rather large. So the PAC has recommended continuation of JNR participation in NA60 till the end of the data taking phase in 2018. If they wish to continue beyond that, then the PAC requests the group to come with a new proposal explaining what the collaboration will do and what they will do. COMPASS 2. If you remember, we got at the previous PAC meeting a request for approving the extension in COMPASS 2 by two groups from JNR. The PAC considered that it is unjustified to have two different groups from the same institute participating in a given experiment, and we asked them to come with a single consolidated proposal. So they did. So we were pretty pleased that the two groups joined, merged together, and presented a common proposal with a well-defined management structure, strategy, and objectives. However, we were astonished to see that this group is of a total of 49 members, or in FTE equivalent 28, and correspondingly a very large travel budget. Given the responsibilities of the group in COMPASS 2, we consider that to be too large, excessive. We requested the team and the laboratory management to take the necessary measures to significantly reduce the group size and the travel budget. Assuming that this request is accepted, and in order to avoid any further delays in the approval process, the PAC recommends continuation of the participation of the JNR group in the COMPASS 2 experiment till the end of 2020. We had already postponed the approval from the January meeting to the June, so we, with this reservation, we this time approve the extension of COMPASS 2. Juno and Daya Bay participation of JNR is very well recognized. The group took responsibility for the production of the PMTs. This is a significant contribution of JNR. The team also contributed to other aspects of the Juno experiment, the concept, the detector engineering, the analysis software, and also in the collaboration management. So the participation is very visible and significant. So the PAC recommends continuation of JNR participation in the Daya Bay Juno project until the end of 2020. The PAC also recommends the team and the laboratory management to reconsider whether the large manpower and the correspondingly large travel budget are justified. NOVA, the participation of JNR in NOVA, since it started in 2014, have been important and visible. This is a relatively young group, and made substantial contributions to data taking, also participating in SHIFT via a virtual control room. The GINR group has addressed several physics items and will be continue in the next year. So take into account the high potential of the NOVA experiment and the broad scope of the GINR involvement, the PAC recommends continuation of this activity until the end of 2020. The participation on mu2e and muon g-2, the new BIM facility and the experiments are making very good progress on the way to their timely completion. GINR group has made significant contribution to this success and is playing a visible and important role in both experiments. The committee recommends continuation of the GINR participation in the mu2e and mu g-2 experiment till 2020. The TIGA experiment, this experiment aims at the study of the cosmic ray in the high energy region close to the Ni in the energy spectrum, and the number of interesting results have been obtained demonstrating the good quality of the hardware and the data processing algorithm. The PAC notes the importance of the GINR obligations in the TIGA collaboration and encourages the GINR group, and in particular the young researchers, to increase their participation in data analysis. The PAC recommends extension of the project till the end of 2020. Finally, we heard the scientific reports, two of them, a search for muon to electron conversion, that's the mu2e experiment at Fermilab, presented by Jay Miller. We also heard the presentation about the weak decays of B mesons in the light of the search for new physics, presented by V. Ivanov. There were about 12 posters that were presented by young students and postdocs of the DLNP and VBLHEP laboratories. The PAC was very pleased with the overall quality of the posters and selected the two space experiment presented by M. Lavrova to be reported at this session of the Scientific Council, and this will happen tomorrow. Finally, there was an interesting suggestion from some members of the PAC that was finally adopted by everybody. The PAC recommends the management of laboratory to consider the possibility of presenting the young scientist's work using multimedia presentations of a maximum of 3 minutes in addition to the statics poster. So this is a suggestion that maybe may make the poster session more live. So we also decided about our next meeting. It will take place on January 31st and February 2019. These are the items that we will have in our agenda. That's the usual menu of things to be discussed at the PAC. And with this, I conclude my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Isaac. And now, do we have any questions to the PAC? Okay, let's see. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Yeah? Okay, starting with you.
Did you get any response since then on this issue of analyzing the data from BM at Nucleotron?
Well, people share the concern of the lack of manpower. People are very aware, everybody agrees that this is a problem and we need to solve it. And there are some discussions going on with laboratory management and laboratory directors, and maybe something come out.
The issue is not still there.
Sorry? The issue is still Microphone. There. The issue is still there, sure. It's okay. Not a thing that you solve in 1 week. It's a...
Okay.
Then you, Michel. No, you. Good. Thank you. So my question is exactly in that direction of some lacking of manpower. I just wanted to make it a bit more clear. Does it mean the manpower is missing or expertise is missing? Because I am asking this question in view of the closing the collaborations with other experiments like NA61, COMPASS and so on, because the lion part of the experience is coming with the participations with the running experiments, and that's why I wanted just to understand lack of manpower means lack of expertise or the number of the people.
They go together. They go together. You just don't need manpower. You need manpower that can do the tasks that are. I mean, you, for example, the BM-10 for the booster construction, you need the technical skills to install the equipment and to test it. For the BM-10, the lack of manpower is basically on the to analyze the data. So it's just to develop the software tools. So, but in each case, you need qualified people to do the things.
Again, on the same line, so you mentioned the lack of manpower on BMR10, especially for the analysis. You made a good step, I think, with COMPASS 2 by trying to reduce the size of the group, which looks too large. But at the same moment, you are encouraging participation to NA61, to other experiments, and you are looking for the next meeting to consider new projects. I mean, you should go in the same line as COMPASS to try to get a redeployment of physicists towards the priority of the laboratory, which is NICA and BM-10 for the moment.
Yeah, I think that my personal opinion, the solution to the manpower problem is a combination of two things. You have to attract more manpower from in-house, and I think that Vladimir Kekelice is doing this since quite some time, and he is quite successful in increasing the flux of people from the laboratory to work on NICA. And our recommendations to scrutinize the group size of NA61 and other go in that same direction. But in my personal opinion, the solution of the problem will come if enough groups from outside GINR come here to do work at NICA. And this could be first and above all Russian groups from other institutions. And this is what we are trying to develop a scheme to make that thing attractive. But that requires some time.
Thank you. Okay, last question.
As usual, for me, is always the budget question. Victor, listen. What is the share of the budget in these many, many different projects? Is it everybody has about the same share, or is it 90% going to NICA and 1 per mil into, I don't know, neutrino? You should know this. I mean, all your judgments have to be based on the priorities of you, your committee, and of the laboratory. And if Victor does not squeeze enough, nothing will ever happen. The only thing which counts, we are capitalistic Russia. We are capitalistic Bulgaria, capitalistic Czechia, and so on. The only thing which will make a decision, ask this guy over there, he ran Garnil for 10 years, is money.
This is a scientific advisory committee.
Yeah, but the scientific advice has
this
to
this is not a management committee. Your question is a question for management.
No. So you have to advise the management how to implement your budget.
Sorry, Horst, could I comment your questions?
Yes.
First of all, concerning the budget.
Okay, let's hear the management.
It's obligation of the management of the
scientific advisory committee. We advise on the science. This is our mandate. I cannot define the mandate of the committee.
Horst, I heard you, but management, Vladimir Kikilidze would like to.
Less than 7% of the budget goes to all the external experiments. Concerning the manpower, all the available manpower which could do analysis for BMN are already attracted to the BMN. If some, what is doing, hardware work in the COMPASS, he could not change it to do analysis. So we already attracted as many as possible from the internal resources to our NICA project, at least at the 90-95%. Concerning the external people, We are highly welcome external people. We are working a lot to attract all the people. Just I have shown that 40 students from the Warsaw University came to practice at the NICA project. And many of them already expressed interest to come and to continue work on that. Again, the group from the Azerbaijan led by Anar Rustamov already organized the analysis based on, and this is a permanent work, it's going on. But we need hundreds and hundreds of people. It cannot be done in the framework of the staff of the lab. This is a, finally requires 1,500 people to be involved. It's not the staff, it's real collaboration which is going on to organize the proper attraction and management of this collaboration.
I disagree with this conclusion. You do the normal thing that everybody does. You count money without the money which you have to pay for the personnel. There's no way you have 45 people in one other experiment and this is less than 7% of your total budget. Count the money for the personnel too. And then you will see it's 50% something else and less than 50% probably on the NICA experiments. Look at the numbers. I get you. Ellie.
There's no way you can tell me that all the other experiments.
Including the salary money. Including. Yes, it's in counted.
Okay, this may be used. Okay, last comment, a question.
I'd simply like to.
Okay.
All the time.
Oh, sorry. Which one?
I'd simply support what Horst said, because recently I had the pleasure to be invited at the Council of GSI Affair, and there indeed they treat all these problems in detail. Financial, personnel, postdocs, and everything. So I don't know if by the regulations our honorable PAC chairmen have in their prerogative to touch upon this question too, but maybe we should keep in mind to enlarge the prerogative if they are missing. Thank you.
Thank you for these comments. We have to move on. Unless there's an urgent need, who wants urgently to make a comment? Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So let me, maybe it's trivial, but let me remind the wording, okay? PAC is Program Advisory Committee. He advises, which means that, of course, he recommends whatever they want to recommend from scientific point of view, and also may open new ideas for recommendation, new experiments, new collaboration. This do not preclude that the director decide what are the priority, because the PAC will always, probably most of the time, have a much larger, let's say, agenda and contain that what that the laboratory can do. So I think this discussion is there, right? Not that, I mean, it has to be priority, it has to be made by the direction management of the laboratory. The scientific council, okay, they can always put more, but there is some way where it has to be decided, I guess.
The PAC doesn't decide, but it has to prioritize what is most important. It's the PAC's.
Well, I think those are very valuable comments, which perhaps will be used by all interested. Thank you very much, Professor Tsiriya. And we now move. Let me remind you that you have booklets. You have some of the, all these materials written, the summaries at least. So now we ask Marek Levitovich to give us the Nuclear Physics Committee pack. Please go ahead, Marek.
I need 1 minute, 1 minute. Although I can speak loudly, maybe that will be enough for the beginning. So I will report on the 46th meeting of the Program Advisory Committee
on Nuclear Physics,
which took place in June. Okay, now I can speak normally, I guess. So
This is the agenda of the meeting with the blue parts which are dealing with the topics which I will develop in the following, mainly around the status of the super heavy element factory in Dubna, which of course I will make much shorter, as we had a nice presentation of Professor Dimitriev today. Then we discuss Akulina 2, set of projects, mainly Tangra, E and T and RM, and then physics of light mesons with several projects which I will detail. Of course, we had also scientific reports and poster session. Let's start with the status of the factory of super heavy elements. So you have seen the details. I will stop only on some slides discussing the points which were particularly important and evaluated during the PAC meeting. So we had quite detailed presentations of this super heavy element factory done by Igor Kawagin on the accelerators, Sergei Bogomolov on the ion sources, and Andrei Popieko on the status of the separator target and detection systems. We had, as you see already from this picture, a possibility to visit very closely the new cyclotron and look what's even inside. Okay. So on the cyclotron, this what's the most important is that the commissioning of the cyclotron is now planned from January to April 2018. You have seen this also in the previous presentation. And we could see also on plates that this completion of the installation work, which is going on, it's planned in for December this year. I would like to stop here in this table just on the one number, on this intensity of the calcium 48 beam, which can go up to 10 particle microamps, exceeding up to factor of 10 the currently available intensity in the laboratory. So these are very ambitious plans and clearly putting the super heavy element factory on the front position in the world. The schedule you have seen, and the most important part is in the beginning of 2018, that's the beginning of the commissioning of this cyclotron, including ion sources. And as we had this discussion also in the previous talk, it was an additionally important effort coming from the directors of the institute and of the laboratory to dedicate additional manpower for this important project. So this helped, of course, in the trying to keep everything on schedule. From the ECR point of view, we had very good news that the tests were very successful on the new ion source, which will be mounted close to the accelerator. And then essentially this ion source is ready for the installation for the super heavy element factory with the design performances which are close to what was expected, especially for the calcium 40, 48 in this case, the most important beam, with the right low consumption of the calcium material. From the target, separator, and detection units points of view, we have the presentations during the PAC and also today. So this is the target unit which is under design phase and will be definitely on time and ready for the first commissioning with the beam in 2018. The same is true for the gas field separator, necessary component for this super heavy element studies at the new facility, improving, of course, largely the efficiency. And everything is ordered, should be again installed already by this year. So well in advance with respect to the beam. For the Foucault plane detector, so this is the end of this spectrometer. We had seen the very nice the results of the test of the silicon strip detector with a very good energy resolution. One point which still should be improved This is the electronics, what's proposed now. This is the mixture of the digital and analog electronics, which will equip this. I think the further efforts are welcome to make this more homogeneous. The PAC recommendations with respect to the super heavy aluminum factory. So it's recommended that both GNR and Floroflab directorates ensure coordinated implementation of the schedule of civil construction, installation and commissioning work of the accelerator, separator, target and detector systems. I think this effort should continue. Carefully quality control should be ensured during the installation commissioning of all mentioned super heavy element factory components in order to guarantee the reliable operation in the following and also the optimal performances. It's recommended that the Floroflab Directorate focus on the preparation of day one experiments. Special attention should be given to the timely provision of the super heavy element factory complex with engineering and technical personnel. And a short note, in order to improve the reporting on the super heavy element factory, we appointed members of the nuclear physics PAC, which will follow in a regular basis, also in between the sessions of the committee, the evolution of the super heavy element factory at its commissioning. New fragment separator Kulina 2, it's day one experiment, so we heard the report on this topic by Andrei Fomichov. It was the startup of this fragment separator in March this year, and there were very nice, nicely obtained design parameters in terms of intensity in particular. If one compares the performances of this new device, Akulina 2 separator, there's increase in the intensity by a factor of 25. And collaboration proposed the first experiments, which would investigate hydrogen 7, lithium 13, its decay via 3N, 4N channels, and decay of neon 17 and sulfur 26 through the 2P channels. The PAC recommendation endorses the present program of the first experiments at the Akulina 2 fragment separator and looks forward to a report on the results and the future meetings of the PAC. I think this project is really fully on the tracks. The next project which was discussed is the Tanga project. So PAC heard the presentation on this project by Yuri Kopacz. The project is aimed at developing the target, which is attack neutron meteor and its application for basic nuclear physics research, as well as for applications. The PAC notes the successful realization of the first stage of the project during the previous period and the expansion of the list of its participants, as well as the balanced research program for the coming years. So this is the schematic view of the facility. So the neutrons are tagged with alpha particles. And then there are different measurements which are performed. There are just examples of this first measurement. So these are the angular distributions of gamma rays obtained with the sodium iodide detectors, neutrons on different targets and for different gamma energies. And the plans for 2017-2019 are the measurements of differential cross-sections for the inelastic scattering of 14 MeV neutrons on different materials. You see here the set of proposed materials. Also the measurements of the N2N and prime reactions using this tagged neutron method. In particular, that's proposed to study the low-lying levels of unstable boron-19 through the boron-10 N2N reaction. The recommendation of the PAC recommends extension of the Tangra project until the end of 2019 with full allocation of the requested funding according to the present schedule of the work. Project A and T and RM. This project was presented by Vladimir Wagner. And this is, project is dealing with infinite target, irradiated with 660 MeV proton and neutron beam at Fazotron at the Jalapov lab. So, and with different kind of measurements, so this very thick 500 kilogram, 512, I think exactly, kilogram of uranium target, very massive one, which is so here, this is assembly Quinta. So the results were partially analyzed, included in the Vienna Agency database on ADS systems, and the pack notes a large amount of work, which was carried out by authors of the project to develop different technical, different measurements technique. Nuclear for the, to study main nuclear physics parameters of the uranium assembly Quinta. A measure of different quantities with this target. The committee evaluated also the program for 2017-2019, assuming the Fazotron work for at least of 2 years. This program assumed that Fazotron will work for the next 2 years, and then, of course, the shutdown of Nucleotron for some time, and restart of the Nucleotron work after about 2-3 years. There's several PhD students on this team, very good labs and collaboration, which is developed around this, essentially with the Czech universities. The plans is to continue with the setup of Quinta. Important additional measurements are foreseen at Fazotron, and several simulations or calculations in order to understand this complex system with the very high, with the very massive target. In the following, it's proposed to use even bigger uranium target, Buran, to be irradiated with the beam extracted from Fazotron, and later on, irradiation with nucleotron extracted beams. Of course, this depends on the start of nucleotron operation after shutdown. So the recommendation of the PAC is the extension of the work on this project until the end of 2019. However, the more detailed recommendation on these topics will be formulated at the next PAC meeting with the discussion of the, also with the directors of the concerned labs and the collaboration. We need additional information really to make detailed recommendations. The next topic is dealing with the scientific results obtained in the projects of the team Physics of Light Mesons. The PAC heard reports on the results obtained in the PENMEC, Triton, and PEINEC experiments for this STEM. I will shortly present these experiments. This report on PENMEC was presented by Nikolai Homutov. The PAC recognized the world-class results produced in implementing this project. The PEN experiment accumulated 10 to the 7 P+, E plus new events, and more than 10 to the 8 P Me electron decay, as well as significant number of pions and muon radiative decay. The PAC recommends continuation of the processing of the data analysis, which is not finished yet for this experiment on the radiative decay of pion, that will allow improvement of the previous results and to extract the new experimental value of the R ratio, the branch in between the decay with electrons and muons. The PEN goal is to obtain the precision of these measurements 5 to 10 to minus 4. It's still a little bit of work to be done. It's about factor of 10 higher today. The MEC experiment, a new upper limit on the branching ratio of the decay muon to electron gamma was obtained, and this represents the most stringent limit of the existence of this decay to date. The PAC supports participation in the MEC 2 project as a result of the MEC experiment in 2018-2020, and the new upper limit on the branching ratio of this exotic decay is expected 10 to minus 14. 4 to 5, 10 to minus 14. Triton, the packet of the report presented by Dmitry Diomin. The PAC notes that the measured rates of the nuclear actions, PTE, in the channel with the output of gamma quanta and muon conversion confirm the results of only PSI experiment from 93, enter in substantial contradiction with the model theory. Here, for the first time, the channel of the PTE reaction with the electron-positron pair output, so this reaction, was observed, and with the very good statistics, so with something like 15,000 events, and also the reaction of the PT muon with helium 4 and 2 gamma was observed with the nice statistics. The PAC recommendations, taking into account the new data on the previously not observed PT fusion channels with the emission of an electron positron pair and gamma quantum pair, as well as the complexity of the method of investigation, the PAC recommends continuation of the activity in the Triton experiment in order to carry out in particular modeling of kinetics or mesoatomic and mesomolecular processes in the target, calibration of the detectors on electron beam with an energy up to 20 MeV, development of a technique for modeling the channel registration process with the emission of two gamma quanta, and in-depth analysis of the all experimental data, as well as decommissioning Triton installation from operation by 2020. PAINAC, this was an experiment presented by Gilles Pontecorvo, essentially on the results obtained in the study of P plus minus on the helium interactions. So the research was conducted using Jolepov, as you probably know, and using the self-shunted stream chamber placed in a magnetic field. About 20% of the available raw data has been analyzed. A significant part of the events of negative pi interaction with helium are shown to involve two deuterons in the final state. Recommendations. The PAC hopes that the PAINAC collaboration will successfully complete the analysis of the existing data, as well as extraction of pion beams and launch a new project as soon as possible. And the PAC encourages the PAINAC collaboration to have a more aggressive strategy for publication. I think it's nicely formulated. General recommendations. The PAC for all experiments which I presented with light muons, the PAC endorses the final reports on the results obtained in the MACPAN, Triton, and PAINAC experiments. The participation in the upgraded MAC2 frontier experiment, the research of Leighton flavor violation, should be continued. We heard two scientific reports. I will just mention the title of them. So one on the dipole toroidal resonance, vertical properties, NMR's deformation, splitting relation to pygmy mode presented by Valentin Nesterenko. And the second on a search for spatial parity violation effects in reactions of cold polarized neutrons with lightest nuclei presented by Pavel Sedyshov, if I'm not wrong in the pronunciation. And of course, we had a very nice poster session as well. We were able to select two best posters, investigation of exotic states in light nuclei, presented by Danijar Jens-Seitov, and impact of tensor interaction beta-delayed neutron emission, neutron-rich nickel isotopes, presented by Evgeny Sushenok, and a PAC recommended the first of them presented at this scientific council meeting, what will happen tomorrow. We had a nice visit of the Florov lab, essentially dedicated to the super heavy element factory and Akulina 2. And the next meeting of the PAC will take place on January 17-18, and tentative agenda is shown here, which is more or less standard, and will include in the program visit of the Jalepov Lab of Nuclear Problems. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Marek. We will have one or two questions, or do we? Well, I think we can continue then. Well, thank you very much. Let's move on then. We now have Professor Nudge to present the pack for condensed matter physics. So Dennis Lajos Nudge is invited.
Thank you. Where is the microphone? Sorry.
Here.
Yeah. It's okay.
Dear colleagues, I will try to speed up the story and report about the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics, the 46th meeting last June. That was the agenda, and the highlights are plans for the concept of the GINAR's new neutron source, reports and proposals on Simpson projects, and scientific and technical achievements within concluding Simpson projects. These latter two items basically mean ex ante and ex post evaluation and assessment of these proposals. I will try to focus on the first issue, and I would like to ask you to check these conclusions mainly in the booklet. So, of course, we started our session commemorating Professor Kanzer, whom we also commemorated this morning. He died, as you know, 2nd April, and that's why I had to jump in as an acting chair of the PAC for the June meeting. The work plan on the development of a new neutron source at GINAR was presented by Professor Vinogradov. I think this will be the major task of this program advisory committee within the next 3 or even 6 years, so basically within the frames of the present 7-year plan. The basic point is that the IBR2 design service life for the reactor vessel for burn-up depths and fuel assemblies is rated up to 2042. One could, of course, say that, well, it's far enough, but it is not true. We all know that for such a large facility, such a special research infrastructure, one needs about almost 10 years for the design phase and something like another 10 years for the construction phase, and then we'll be already in the early 30s, and of course we will need at least 5 years before the full shutdown of the IBR2 facility, so we have to start this process. Of course, there is a great variety of experiments which are now being done at IBR2 and also should be done at the future neutron source. Of course, you see in the background many, many topics and motivations. Four of the typical experiments, soft matter, life matter, nucleus, and new physics, and I would even add, of course, one of the most important ones, condensed matter physics and material sciences. This is more or less the same solid-state physics. The demands of them are a little bit different as concerning the maximum flux, which is around 10 to 13, 10 to 14, and most importantly, the time structure, because in a case of a pulse source, you always have a certain filling factor. The filling factor is, of course, the product of the pulse duration and the pulse frequency, and it is in the order of, say, roughly something like 1% plus minus one order of magnitude. Version of the future GINAR neutron source has been elaborated by Professor Aksionov and his co-workers. This is, of course, very far from a technical design report, and to go into details, one needs the technical design report. But the basic idea is a proton accelerator and multiplying target. So it is not a spallation source, it is a neutron source with different nuclear materials as target, for example, plutonium, neptunium, and so on. And the reference characteristics of the accelerator is our proton energy between 0.6 to 1 GeV, main proton current around 0.1 milliampere, proton pulse duration in the order of 10 to 100 microseconds, and a pulse frequency of about 10 to 30 hertz for the neutron booster case. On this slide, you see a comparison of some existing facilities, IBR2, ESS, and the Gacina peak reactor, and this is DNS-4. Of course, again, you may compare very many parameters. One of them, and Horst, I hope you will be happy with this, is of course the money. And you see that, of course, again, lacking a technical design report, one can only very roughly estimate the order, but the order of magnitude is of the cost of this new neutron source would be between 100 and 900, say, 1,000 mega euros. So actually, of course, this maximum cost, this brings this facility already to the order of ESS or FAIR or EXIFIEL, something like this. And this means, of course, a very, very careful planning, and not only careful, but also very responsible planning. So in this regard, the PAC considers starting the strategic planning of a possible project for the GINAL's new neutron source replacing the IBR-2 after the reactor shutdown to an important task, and takes note of the presented plan for its implementation. This is, of course, only the start of the work, and right now I would like to emphasize that it is very, very important that during this process, and I will come back to this point in a minute again, the user needs are considered, and also the possibilities, the realistic possibilities are considered from the very beginning. And that's why it is very, very important that it will be from the very beginning part of the strategic planning of GINR. So I think we should contribute to the work of the strategic planning committee of the directorate. As from the point of view of the user's need, Professor Kucherka presented an overview. So this is how it looks right now with the IBR visiting users. It's very nicely increasing, and it also can see that also the quality of the proposals is increasing, but of course the capacity is limited, and that's why the number of the refused, the relative number of the refused proposal was also increasing. Again, from the user's point of view, some parameters of the new neutron source are compared with those of IBR2, ILL in Grenoble, NRU, this is in Chalk River, Canada, SNS in the state, and ANSTO, this is the Australian neutron source. It is very, very important that neutrons are very special particles, and there are at least two fields where they are really unique. One is that they interact directly with the magnetic moment of the condensed matter. So for magnetic studies, this, they are really unique. And the other is that for light elements, and especially for hydrogen, which means, of course, first of all, organic chemistry, life sciences, such kind of applications, they are really unique. Pulse source at JNR fits within the neutron source landscape geographically and also historically. From the very beginning, JNR had always pulsed neutron sources. And once again, the optimization must be done in a source instrument complex manner. The PAC therefore appreciates that already in the preliminary design phase, attention is being given to the needs of the scientific community regarding principal parameters of the new source. At this point, I think one should emphasize once again that one thing is building a new facility. One should be really very careful and considering all these aspects that I mentioned. But on the other hand, we also have a great responsibility for the tradition. The human knowledge is probably the most important factor in all this story. And dating back to the early 60s, Frank Shapiro, this and the whole school that has been developed in FLN, this is such a value which is very easy to destroy, but to recreate is almost impossible. So that's why when the final decision will be met, all these factors should be taken into account with great responsibility. So finally, this was the recommendation of the PSC. The PSC acknowledges the high level of the implementation of the IBR2 user program, which has made this basic JNR facility one of the world's leading open access neutron sources. It is, of course, very, very important, again, that when planning the new source and hopefully building the new source during this whole period, the IBR2 user program developing the spectrometers will go on, and because otherwise the knowledge will be jeopardized, and also the spectrometers themselves may be practically lost. As concerning the recommendations on Simpson projects, I would speed up, as I told you, and would like to enumerate more or less that was tabled at the PAC meeting. So the investigation of condensed matter by modern neutron scattering methods, this is basically the main activity at IBR2. And these are just a few examples. Again, no time to go into details. A special magnetic structure was studied in this Fe4O5 iron oxide, non-typical iron oxide, the mechanism of passive transport in lipid bilayers, again, just to have a taste, and investigation of condensed matter by modern neutron scattering method. Generally, this is, as I told you, the basic activity, and that's why the recommendation of the PSC was to continue it. The PSC recommends extension of the same investigations of condensed matter by modern neutron scattering methods until the end of 2020. The PSC reiterates the importance of the continuous upgrade of the IBR2 spectrometers and their experimental environment that will lead to considerably increasing their performance. Very nice example for a proposed new project was presented by Mikhail Avdyeyev. This is the neutron operando monitoring and diagnostics of materials. These are just one very impressive examples shown here. Proposed project uses three facilities at IBR2, the new refractometer grains, the high resolution Fourier, so the neutron diffractometer, and also UMO, the small angle scattering spectrometer. The PAC recommends to open this new project, so supports opening the project with this title for the period 1820, and furthermore endorses the implementation of additional sample environment facilities at the IBR2 reactor. Then the concluding theme was evaluated development of experimental facilities for condensed matter investigations with beams of the IBR2 facility and the project development of PTH sample environment system for the DN12 diffractometer at the IBR2 facility. These are the various cold moderators, cold and warm moderators for the spectrometers at IBR2, and again the cold moderator beams for a few spectrometers. The basic point was this PTH. PTH means pressure, temperature, and magnetic field. That's a special sample environment project. This should be continued. However, there was one problem. The magnetic field is being created by a split coil high temperature superconductor magnet, and there was a problem with the quality from the manufacturer's side. Actually, there was a kind of degradation of this superconducting magnetic tape made of yttrium, barium, copper oxide, and that's why it is recommended that this project will be extended again until 2020. A new project has been suggested to be opened, the development of a wide aperture backscattering detector for the high resolution Fourier diffractometer presented by Professor Kulikov. These are just technical details. Let me skip it due to time reasons. The recommendation was that to open this new project for the period 1820 within the framework of the same development of experimental facilities for condensed matter investigations with beams of the IBR2 facility. Then the PAC considered the concluding see multi-model platform for Raman and non-linear optical microscopy and microspectroscopy for condensed matter studies. This is a very important supplementary method which is being used for nanosystems, thin films, and so on. And the PAC noted that as a result of the upgrade program, Frank Laboratory Neutron Physics Optical Platform on the basis of the CARS microscope, this is coherent anti-Stokes Raman spectroscopy microscope, is presently the only Raman and photoluminescence multimodal facility in Russia and the CIC countries by its unique characteristics and functionality. So again, it is supported to open this new project. These are the several versions of the Raman spectroscopy and microscopy. So the recommendation of the PAC was opening the new SIM, modern trends and developments in Raman microspectroscopy and photoluminescence for condensed matter studies, and the project ultra-sensitive SECARS microspectroscopy and luminescence core shell nanostructures for the period 1820. The concluding theme and project novel semiconductor detectors for fundamental and applied research was presented by Dr. Kotov. Again, the recommendation of the PAC was the extension of the theme and the project until 2020. Then the PAC and proposal was assessed. You may remember this project previously was called LEPTA, but this has now been separated. This includes right now only the condensed matter part of the former LEPTA project. These are the three main methods of positron annihilation spectroscopy: angular correlation of annihilation gamma quanta, Doppler spectroscopy, and positron lifetime spectroscopy. All the three are being realized and are partly already realized at this facility. The proposers came with a very clear and very high quality science case, and that's why the recommendation of the PAC was to extend the PAC project until the end of 2020 for its implementation under the theme novel semiconductor detectors for fundamental and applied research. As far as I understand, this funny construction has only management reasons, actually why it belongs just to this theme. Theme and project research on biological effect of heavy charged particles with different energies and of the proposal for its extension, this concluding subject was presented by Professor Krasavin, and this includes molecular radiobiology, radiation genetics, radiation physiology, mathematical modeling, radiation research, and again it was highly appreciated by the PAC with the final recommendation that it finds the presented proposal well formulated and recommends extension of the theme until the end of 2020. Then we heard three scientific reports. The presenters and the titles you can see on the screen. And there was, of course, as always, a poster presentation. The best poster was the neurochemical alteration in central nervous systems of rodents after exposure to different radiation modalities by Bella Kopchova, and you will hear her presentation tomorrow morning here. And this will be the next meeting of the PAC next January. The items to be discussed are more or less routine, but first of all, we will start again with the with discussion on the GINR future neutron source. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Professor Maj. Questions? I don't see any. Oh, okay. Yes, please.
I apologize because we haven't got a lot of time, but nevertheless, thank you for the presentation, and I would like to say that mostly or practically all your remarks and the issues are very successfully fulfilled, and I am happy especially for the connection of the laboratory of neutron physics together with radiation biology. I think that it is the example of when it is used for the basic research in radiobiology too. Speaking about the new neutron source, well, I think that it is maybe a little bit, I understand that it is a very starting period for such question, and it is necessary to start it somehow. On the other side, I think that if we are speaking about the time perspective after 20 or 25 years later, it is, I think, that a little bit difficult, because to speak about the technical design of such device after 25 years later, it is a little bit complicated for or delicate or somebody to understand, because it must be fulfilled on the very modern technologies and very fresh techniques, and not 25 years old. That means it is a matter for maybe 3, 5, 7 years for fulfilling such a technological project. What should be important now, it is not only the question how intensive or how what will be the properties of such a neutron source, but why we need such project, and what is the scientific impact for such project, and probably it will be, nevertheless, it will be a complicated question to give an answer on in that time, what will be attractive and what will be the scientific problem in 2045.
Yeah, thank you. I think that was more a comment than a question, and I fully agree with your comment, of course. Actually, this is how we should start the work. Exactly. So this is, you know, this is always an iterative process. You cannot start immediately with knowing all the technical possibilities and also knowing all the user demands in 25 years in advance. So that's why, as a first step, we need this strategic planning process that will take at least 3 or 6 years, step by step, and at the very end, we will have to have a technical design report, and then the decision should be met by the directorate and, of course, by the governance or by the potentialists.
I would be happy to help you with this project up to the realization.
Yeah, thank you very much. You are welcome.
45 years later.
Yeah, sure. Well, I am very optimistic. In 42, I will be only 98. So this, we may go together to the first experiment.
Thank you once again. The floor now goes to Director Viktor Matveev, who has a few announcements to make.
At this session, we have three announcements of vacancies. First, following the election of Director of Bogoliubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics, we should announce the vacancies of Deputy Directors of this laboratory. Now, according to the current regulations, the endorsement of appointment for this position should be conducted 6 months after the election of the director. Formally, as Scientific Secretary of our Council has mentioned, we cannot endorse at this at the next 123 session of the Scientific Council in February 2018, because we have only 5 months between two meetings. So, nevertheless, I would like would to have the endorsement at the next session, and so I propose the following text of resolution of our Scientific Council. The Scientific Council announces the vacancies of the positions of the Deputy Directors of Bogoliubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. The Scientific Council asks the Committee of Plenipotentiaries to allow the endorsement of the appointments of the Deputy Directors to be held at the next 123 session of the Scientific Council in February 2018, and to approve the following amendment to the corresponding paragraph of item second in the regulation of election of directors and for endorsement appointment of deputy directors of GINI laboratories. This is just quote what we have to write. The announcement of a vacancy for the position of a laboratory deputy director is made by the Scientific Council with subsequent endorsement of the appointment to this position at the session followed the session which announced this vacancy. This has to be published in the resolution of Scientific Council and is sent to be sent in written form by the Secretary of Scientific Council to the plenipotentiaries of the United Member States. I think it's just formal moment, but I believe that Committee of Plenipotentiaries will agree with us with such recommendation. Second, we should announce the vacancy of the position of the director of Zhilepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems. The election for this position will take place at the 124th session of the Scientific Council in September 2018, after 1 year. And finally, third, may I remind you that a year ago the Scientific Council agreed with my proposal to postpone the election of the director of the FLOREF laboratory by 1.5 or 2 years and resolve to take the final decision for this new election date at this 122nd session of the Scientific Council. We heard the talk presented by Sergei Dmitriev. We saw that this decision was right because it has allowed not to decrease activity in finishing construction super heavy elements factory. So, but now we are believe that commissioning of this laboratory and first testing of commissioning of cyclotron 280 will be done at the beginning of this year, and nothing will us prevent from announcement of vacancy of the director of laboratory of nuclear reactions. So my proposal is to announce the vacancy of the position of the director of the FLOREF laboratory, and the election for this position will take place at the 124th session of Scientific Council in September 2018, through 1 year. So I think everything is more clear, and ask you to agree with these proposals.
Any comments to that? Okay, well, look, now this is the best part. No, not yet. Misha.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Director Vitkis, you need to make your announcement now.
The proposal of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research Directorate, Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics, to appoint Danish Lajos Nagy as presented of Wigner Research Center of Physics, Budapest, Hungary, as chairman of the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics for the term of 3 years. To appoint Pavel Mikula, Nuclear Physics Institute Rzeszów, Czech Republic, as new member of this PAC for a term of 3 years. To appoint Luciana Musa from CERN, Geneva, Switzerland, as new member of Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics for a term of 3 years. The Directorate asks the Scientific Council to approve these proposals. Thank you.
Yeah, any comments? I would say let's just vote by approval. Now, well, now it's the best part.
All the members of the Scientific Council or guests of our session are invited for a dinner at a restaurant in Hotel Dubna. So please, we all be glad to see you there.
Session closed.
Maybe this is from now.
Session closed.